So as we look tonight, we're going to be looking at some general verses. You know, the book of Proverbs, we've looked at four different sections, and we've covered a lot of different territory, but tonight we're going to be looking at some of the general ways that a wise man and a fool are different. And what we're going to do is, I've made up the slides here, and you'll see in just a moment here, so the first thing that will come up is the verse reference. Well, I want you to look them up, and I'll have someone volunteer to read the verse for us, and then we'll talk about it. All right, so the first one is Proverbs 3:35. Proverbs 3:35. John?
3:35. The wise shall inherit the way, but shame shall be to the promotion of fools.
Okay, so the wise will inherit in glory, the shame shall be the promotion of fools. Now, what does, Jennifer, you help me here. All right, so what's it tell us about the wise there, that he'll inherit in glory? What's that dealing with here?
Future reward, or, well, yeah, I suppose God's blessing in this life, but also potentially future reward.
Okay, but then shame is the promotion of fools. What would that be referring to? Anybody? Well, ultimately, ultimately, yes. But even in life, Garrett?
Well, his reward basically for being foolish is shame.
Yes.
Shame.
Okay, so there's lots of people in our world that we know of that they act like a fool. They're going to get shame out of it. It's going to end up shaming them. A person that acts like a fool is going to get shamed. Garrett?
Like, an easy way of putting it is basically to reap what you sow.
Exactly.
You're wise.
Yeah, and also, yes. Just, I mean, people who are wise and make choices in life, usually, you know, I mean, they start off small, they might not have a lot, or be really recognized by anybody, but through perseverance and hard work, eventually, you know, in life, they have people respect them, and they get honor, and they do well, but people who are foolish and, you know, like, make themselves more than they are, or make foolish choices in life, eventually, you know, they get nothing out of it.
That's
nobody respects them. People just look at them.
That's right. All right, so here's some of the things that I put down here for us. The wise person will receive honor and glory. So that's what we've already talked about. And the fool will receive shame and disgrace. All right, so these are characteristics of these two. All right, so now another one here. Let's take a look at the next one. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5. Gerhard, Proverbs 10, 5.
He that gathereth in summer is wise, is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame.
Okay, so gathering in summer, sleeping in harvest. Now, what can we learn from this? He that gathers in summer, it's obviously talking about a farmer type of a scenario, or maybe a gardener type of thing. So he that gathers in summer is a wise son. All right, so what's that got to do with it? Garrett?
Well, I guess he sees in a farming situation, he sees that things need to be harvested during summertime. And he knows, okay, if he doesn't do it now, then he's going to lose it, basically. So he's wise in the sense he makes the right choice. He does it now, he's not lazy.
Yep. And then the fool?
If he sees it and he's like, yeah, whatever, and just sleeps, then it's just going
okay,
to
so he's not actually called the fool here, but obviously he's the opposite of the wise man here. So the wise man, in the summertime, he gathers his fruit, all right? So we live in a privileged area here. My mom and dad are always saying, how can you have two gardens? You know, so we have our winter garden, our summer garden, but in much of the world, you know, you either have your summer garden, you don't have no winter garden, or snow or cold or something of that nature. But a wise person will gather the, you know, when you've planted the things, and say, oh, you know, it's time to go out there and pick those things, but I'm tired and I don't feel like it. I think I'll just rest today. And then it spoils. And so the foolish person, he sleeps in harvest, and it causes him shame. He doesn't have anything in the end. He could have gone out and picked it. He could have gone out and harvested, and it would have been fine. But he didn't do that because he wasn't being wise. So the wise man works when it is time to work, and the fool sleeps when it is time to work, and then he gets shame and disappointment. All right, so good principle here about the harvest. Good thing for us to remember the difference between a wise person and a fool. All right, now next one, Proverbs 13:20. Who'd like to read that one? Melody?
He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed.
Okay, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. All right, so this is an excellent verse for us, especially for young people to teach them. All right, so Mel, what's he mean here? Walking with wise men shall be wise.
Having wise friends make you wise.
Okay, so if you have wise friends, they're going to help you to become more wise. Mm. All right, but a companion of fools is going to be destroyed. So how does that play into it?
If you don't have that kind of friend, if you have fools for your friends, they're going to make bad things happen.
Okay. All right, so if you spend time with a wise man, you're going to become more wise. And that is a great truth and a great principle. And it's something that all of us can really gain from. This can be a help to every single one of us here tonight. If you'll choose wise friends, God says they're going to make you a wiser person. And we know that to be true. All right, John, you got a comment?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, just in another verse kind of clarifies that more as far as in the more New Testament ways, the idea of like... the wife or the husband or the children ever being getting edification or whatever from, even if they're unbelieving, from being in a room, like spending time around believers.
Okay.
I mean, like, it's just even an unbeliever that spends time with believers, people who do the right thing, it does rub off on them.
All right, they're going to gain some good things. That's right. That's good. All right, so if someone then is a companion of fool, the word companion here literally means to graze. Or to pasture, right? And, you know, growing up on a farm, that means a lot to me. Maybe it doesn't mean much to you, but when the cattle were out grazing, they were out in the field, and they were nibbling away on the grass. We had cows, and so they'd be out chewing on the grass here and there, grazing, wandering here and there. And even with sheep, the same was true. They'll wander through the fields, and they graze. So here's the idea. He that grazes with a fool will become foolish like them, and it'll destroy him. All right, so it's going to hurt him if we spend time. Now the idea here, I think that it's a great principle here to see grazing. He's not just talking about working with a fool or, you know, where you don't have any choice, but it's actually choosing to spend time with them, going out and spending time with them and enjoying life with them and eating with them and doing things with them that you want to do with them. And that's the idea of the grazing here. And he says, you do that with a fool and it's going to rub off on you. It's going to destroy you. It's going to hurt you. And so we got to be very, very careful about that so that it doesn't cause grief to our souls.
A fool can lead another person into doing stupid things.
That's right, exactly. Okay, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. Proverbs 14, 1. Peter.
Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands.
Okay. The wise woman builds her house, but a foolish plucks it down with her hands. So, what do we learn from that, Peter? Is he talking about building it with bricks and mortar?
Well, building your life together rather than physical.
Okay, probably more likely.
Build
houses. No, it's not usually the women are out building it with the bricks and the mortar, but it's.
So the way you go about your life and how you order your days and how you work and how you choose your friends and. Activities you choose, as opposed to a foolish person who just disobeys themselves.
Yeah. So in a practical sense, some of you ladies, help me out with this. How does a woman build her house? Or her household? Maybe you could look at it from that perspective.
Building up the people.
Okay, building up the children and their husband. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Anything else, Sasha?
Creating harmony.
Encouraging.
Okay. Creating harmony, being an encourager. Anything else? Johnny?
I was just going to mention, like, I mean, you can almost look at the word house in the Bible oftentimes the same way we use the word church. I mean, we can sometimes say church when we think about a building, but we also say church when we think about a body of believers.
Yeah.
The house there, you think about the house, it could just be a house, but it could just be... Damn.
Well, it's often used throughout the Bible referring to a household.
Yeah.
Yes.
And not just a building, but the household, referring to the people in the house. Yes, the people in the house. All right, so any other ways that a woman can build her house? Peter?
31. Yep. About the ideal wife buying and selling lands and ordering the servants and building the house by way of...
Okay. Just good leadership.
Management.
Yep. Very good. Yes, resourceful, management, good things. So these are ways that a wise woman is going to build her house, but the foolish that doesn't do any of those things is actually pulling it down with her hands. And when they don't take care of the household and they don't clean the place, and they don't take care of things, and they don't encourage people, and they don't discipline, and they don't train, and they don't do those things, they're actually pulling it down. And, you know, it's tragic. We live in a world that there's a lot of this happening. Homes are falling apart because moms, and it's not just the mom's fault, but moms are, you know, they're home most of the time where dads usually aren't. And the wise woman is trying to improve her household. The foolish then tears it down. And, you know, one brick at a time, not literally in the mortar and that, but, the family. The children fall apart. They don't get the training they need. Things go chaotic, and the children grow up to be God-hating and God-rejecting people. And it's tragic. We live in a tragic, tragic world.
Children look at their parents and learn by their parents.
That's right.
I've got one ex-friend that's got a little boy, extremely lazy, and he's just as bad.
Yep, just takes after what he's seen. Okay, next verse is Proverbs chapter 14, verse 8. Proverbs 14, 8. Who would like to read that? Sasha?
The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit.
Okay, this is a little bit more complicated verse maybe. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. What would that be referring to? Okay, so the wise person, the wise person is going to be prudent. So what's prudent mean, John?
To be evaluating what you do. But I think another way to sum it up is like the idea of, you know, he's not going to leave it to chance to be blissfully ignorant. You know, like some people, like, instead of going through the effort to really investigate what they're doing, because it might be too much hassle, they're just like, kind of like say, oh, I'll just overlook that. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. But the fool is like deceiving himself. He just convinces himself, oh, I don't really need to look into it because that's extra work and might slow me down. But the wise man says, well, you know, I don't really want to be ignorant. Even if I have to learn the hard way, I'm really going to look into this and make sure this is what God wants, not me.
Okay, so the wisdom of the prudent. The prudent person is a careful person, a person who is cautious. So they're cautious and careful. And they desire to understand their way. They want to discern the right way. The word understanding there has to do with discernment and discerning and making sure we've made right choices. So the wise seek to discern the best way to go. They prove all things before doing them. All right, we spent that whole little session on proving all things. And that's really what the prudent person does. They discern their way. They prove their way. They make sure this is going to be right. This is the right choice to make. And it covers so many areas of life, as we've already pointed that out in our previous lessons. But then the foolish person deceives himself and others. You know, he deceives by what he does. He deceives himself into thinking he's okay when he's really not. He doesn't discern the way. He doesn't know where he's going. He's just wandering around aimlessly because he's not being wise and he's not seeking to understand his way. All right, any other thoughts on that before we move to the next one? Okay, the next verse then, Proverbs 15:24. Proverbs 15:24. Anybody else? Yes, Yuli.
The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hill beneath.
Okay, very good. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. All right, so once again here, he's talking about particularly to the wise man now, the way of life is above to him. All right, so what's that referring to? How does that describe his way of life? What's it say about his way of life? Sasha?
I think it's like Colossians 3, seek you first. No, it's set your affection on things above and on the things of the earth.
Okay.
Thinking about heaven.
Okay. So for a believer, it would certainly be referring to then that he's living his life for eternity. He's living his life for God. He's seeking things that are above. All right? And the way of life is above to the wise. So his whole focus on life is about the future. It's about heaven. It's about seeking God. And, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in just living for today, living for ourselves, not thinking about the future. But we really need to do that. And as we see here, the wise man seeks the way of life through Jesus Christ that leads him to heaven so that he will escape hell. All right, so that's a major thing here. He's looking ahead. He's thinking ahead. You know, sadly, I was just thinking about that this morning as I'm praying for my neighbors and things that, you know, so many of them are nice people. But you try to talk to them about the Lord and, what do I need that for? I don't need that. I'm doing fine. And they don't realize that one of these days, it's going to be too late. They've made their choice and they've chosen to reject God. And that is a tragic thing. But the wise person looks beyond right today. He looks above. It's the idea of, you know, the way of life is above to the wise. So he's thinking more about the future, not just about now. And he's living beyond what he has right now.
We're supposed to be looking after the people that are not looking above. I think a lot of Christians seem to think that this place here is a waiting room for heaven. And they're just sitting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're probably right.
That's not a good thing to do.
No, the implication here is that the fool, the way of the fool, then is going to lead him to hell. All right, and so we need to be living. You know, this can be applied both to unbelievers and believers. So the applying it to salvation, we'd say, you know, the wise person is going to seek the way through Jesus Christ to lead him to heaven. But also as a Christian. As Sasha pointed out, this is a good example of us focusing on eternity and focusing on the things above instead of, like Annika said here, instead of just sitting in the waiting room waiting for eternity to happen. Yes. We're getting involved. We're doing what we need to be doing.
We don't realize that we are already living in eternity.
We are. Well, we literally have eternal life now.
We have eternal life. Yes. That's what I mean. You know, yes. We already have it.
Yes.
Not
okay.
That we will have it. We have it now.
That's right. Okay. Proverbs 17:10. Proverbs 17:10. Garrett.
A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool.
Okay. What do you got here? A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. First thing we need to do is identify the terms. What does it mean by reproof? John Ray?
To have his something that he does challenged by somebody, or like somebody points out that, you know, like he receives instruction from somebody else about something that he's done.
Okay, it's a verbal correction. Okay? So a reproof is a verbal correction. Alright? So he says here that then 100 stripes, what's he talking about there? Corporal punishment, alright? That's pretty obvious. Yes. So he says here that the reproof, the verbal correction, enters more into a wise man. So the wise man, you just tell him, listen, that was not the right thing to do. That was wrong. And man, he just melts and says, boy, I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to change my ways. I got to work really hard at that. But the fool, he does the same thing and you say, you shouldn't do that. And he says, oh, mind your own business. And then you give him 100 stripes and he's still not going to learn enough to change his ways. But the wise person changes his ways with just a verbal rebuke. And so it's a good thing to teach our children. It's a good thing to practice in our own lives that when we are verbally rebuked or even rebuked by God through the scriptures or through the Spirit of God, that we respond quickly and we change our ways rather than waiting for a severe punishment of some sort before we'll take action. John?
Yeah. It's actually interesting to hear. It's almost interesting. Solomon oftentimes uses, the psalmist used like kind of a bit of an exaggeration, like example, like it's better to meet a bear rather than cubs than a foolish man. But even in here, like a lot of people won't even realize that when he says there are 100 stripes, he's actually saying not just saying 100, but like an excessive amount, because under the Jewish law, you weren't allowed to actually beat somebody more than I think 40 times. So the idea of 100 there is like even if you beat him excessively. You know, like, it's almost like nothing you can do. Like,
yeah,
there's punishing and won't teach him.
The fool just doesn't learn, no matter what you do. There's another place where it talks about beating him with a mortar and a pestle, and just pounding him, but he still doesn't learn. All right. So, a wise child learns from reproving words. A fool learns. He learns more than a fool does when he gets 100 spanking stripes for the spanking. The fool refuses to learn. That's the bottom line. He just does not want to learn. And that's tragic when children are that way. It's tragic when adults are that way. They just don't want to learn. Nobody's going to tell me. I'm going to do it my way no matter what. I don't want to learn. Okay, our next verse, Proverbs 20, verse 3. Proverbs 20, verse 3. Shonri?
It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling.
Okay, it's an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. All right, so what do we have here? We got the contrast again between the wise and the fool. All right, so this time the wise man is implied, the fool is mentioned. All right, so the wise man, what means he's an honor for a man to cease from strife. John Ray?
Is that for him, like, it's a very, like, honorable thing or something that he's kind of, like, proud of us to do. The idea of, like, if there was, like, strife between him and his neighbor, like, to him it's a really good thing to have, like a restoration between people if there's anything going on. Like, he likes there being, like, an honorable reputation between him and the people in his life. But every fool, some people love to have drama and be meddling all the time. Like, they just, it's kind of like they're drawn to it. They always have to have the last word. It's in their mind, it's not about their honor or what people think of them. Their mind is about, I need to win the argument.
Okay. Any other comments?
It's an honor for a person to get the strife out of their life.
Yep.
And to not meddle with other people's business.
Yep, that's true. Very true. All right, so here's a couple of things to ponder. A wise person will get honor when he stops an argument.
All right.
The strife is an argument. All right, so when a person stops an argument, quashes a fight, you know, that's an honor. That's a good thing. And every fool is unwilling to yield. He keeps aggravating things. All right, so the idea of the meddling here is not so much the kind of meddling as we would think of. It has more to do with, if you look up that word, it has to do with being unwilling to yield. You know, he doesn't want to yield to anything. He's just going to keep agitating things. He doesn't want to stop. He just, you know.
I am right.
And so when there's an argument or a strife, the wise person says, let's not fight about it. Let's just forget it. It's not worth fighting over. And the fool says, no, let's keep on going. I'm right and you're wrong. All right, so that's the difference between the two, okay? All right, so the next one here, Proverbs 26:6. Proverbs 26, verse 6.
6:1.
Inika?
He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage.
Okay, there's a strange one. All right, he that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. So, what's that mean? Inika, what do you think?
That's a bit of an enigma, isn't it?
It is. Garrett?
Well, basically he's just saying that your message is never going to get there. He's never probably going to go and do it. Kind of representing his feet being cut off. He's just going to stop.
Well, the message by the hand of a fool is really probably gossip.
Well, not necessarily. When it says that he that sends a message by the hand of a fool. So if I have a message to send to you, and I choose a fool to take the message to you. If I choose a fool to take the message to you, it's like cutting off the feet and drinking damage. You know, it's like, you know, I'm going to get a sore foot.
Yeah.
So it's not going to benefit me because I sent the wrong guy with a message. And he's never going to get there because he's going to drop it on the way, or he's going to lose it, or he's going to change it, or he's going to mess things up. Okay? John Ray.
It's kind of like every emergency ever, like when I interview eyewitnesses, and like everybody has like a drastically different version of the story. Not only that, a lot of people like drama and exaggeration because it's just, there's a human element that just really enjoys that, like getting the story really, you know, juicing it up a bit. And when you give a fool a message, you know, he might be ramping it up more than you intended, and that could really work against you.
Okay, that's another way of looking at it as well. Alright, so he may change the message, and that's going to cause damage, and it's going to be causing you pain and damage. The idea here with the cutting off the feet and drinking damage, I think, is just basically the idea that it's going to be painful for you. It's going to cause you grief. The fools make unreliable messengers that just can't be trusted. And then also by implication, the wise person will be trustworthy. Alright, so if you choose a wise person, and say, all right, the wise guy's he's going to help me. He's going to do it right. I can trust him. I gave him that message. He'll take the message. It'll deliver safely, and it'll be good. And just as I mentioned on Sunday morning, you know, with the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul, it appears that he chose Phoebe, a faithful woman that was there with him in Corinth, to carry the precious manuscript of the book of Romans to Rome. And that was a huge responsibility. Now, if he would have chosen some fool, yeah, it never would have made it.
Might not have made it.
That's right. All right, so it's the idea of the principle here. All right, the next one, Proverbs 26, verse 7. 26:7. 26:7. Anybody go for that one? Anybody else? Give people a chance. All right, Jared.
The legs of the lame are not equal. So is a parable in the mouth of fools.
Okay. The legs of the lame are not equal. All right, so you get a lame person, and one leg shorter than the other one. All right, and they limp all the time. There's always a limp. They can't walk straight. And so is a parable in the mouth of fools. All right, so what's that talking about? So you put a parable, or you listen to a parable from a fool, or you put a parable in the mouth of the fool, and he's going to twist it. It's going to not come out accurately. It's not going to come out. A parable, what's the purpose of a parable?
To teach a lesson.
All right? So if you find a parable in the mouth of a fool, he's going to teach the lesson incorrectly. It's going to come across wrongly. It's not going to be strengthening. It's going to be weakening. You know, there's all these kind of things that are going to happen. The fool is an unreliable teacher. Okay? And they limp like a lame man. All right? And so their teaching is not going to be good. Their words are going to be inconsistent. All right? So just like the legs aren't consistent, they're not the same, and they limp. All right, so we're going to see the same thing with a fool. He's going to have inconsistent teaching. Peter?
You're also saying that if lame man is meant to walk straight.
Yes, that's
so
true.
The parable isn't going to come out straight. It's going to be twisting all over the place.
Yep.
Wrong interpretation.
Exactly. Okay, good. Jeremy?
Yeah, you can just completely misunderstand the whole point of the parable. Yep.
Yeah, he just doesn't even know what he's talking about. Sasha?
Also, what they're saying could have no example behind it in their life.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. That's a very good point. All right? So there's no example there in his life. So he may be teaching something, but if he's not living it, nobody's going to listen to him because it's not equal. That's a very good possibility, Sasha. Very good. That was good. I hadn't thought of that, but I think that that's got some very strong possibilities there. All right. Very good. Appreciate
it. My father's saying, do what I say, don't do what I do.
Yes, it's easier to do that, isn't it?
Poor mother.
Proverbs 27:22. Melody?
Thou shalt just bread a pool and mortar among wheat, so pestilence yet will not his foolishness depart.
All right, we just talked about this. All right, so though thou shouldest bray a fool and a mortal among the wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. So, a mortar and pestle. If you don't understand what those are, you don't get this parable. But it's one of those little stone dishes or really hard dishes of some sort. And they have a little pounder. You put the little bit of, usually they use them for herbs. They'll put some herbs in there and go boom, 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 pound those things until they pound them into powder. Well, I don't know. Yes, the mortar and the pestle. Yeah, I get them confused. But anyway, the two of them are there, and you're pounding on, right? So he says here
what
that.
What does the word "bray" mean? Bray the fool. What does that mean? Bash.
Yes, it'd be to smash it or to smash or pound.
Bray is like mix up a. So you can't mix a fool in a mortar and pestle with wheat and get something decent out of it.
No, he's just saying he's just using a picture here that if you were to put the fool in the dish and start pounding on him, then he's still not going, his foolishness is still not going to depart from him. He's still going to be fooled. The basic idea of the whole thing is you can beat him to a pulp. You can beat him to a pulp and he's still going to be a fool.
Right.
Generally.
In England, a father or a mother is like, I'm going to bray you in a minute. Behave yourself. Oh. It means I'm going to bash you.
Oh. So my mother and father ever talk to me like that.
Generally.
Do you have to actually understand why they actually did it to the wheat in the first place? The reason is to stay bright the wheat is to separate parts of it, the bran and the wheat, to make it easier to actually do something with it. And then if you understand it, you understand why saying weren't these foolishness weren't parts of it. You cannot separate him and his foolishness. Like you can separate the wheat in its component parts by putting it in a mortar and pestle. Because that's the analogy. That's why he's making a comparison. He's saying, because that's the same reason you put anything in a mortar and pestle, is to like break it apart and like to release the different parts of the peppercorn.
That's the same idea as threshing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Separate the
exactly
the wheat from the chaff.
If you weren't rich enough to have your own mill, that's how you'd have to separate your wheat.
So
Yeah.
All right. So the idea there is that they're just the fool here. He seldom learns from discipline, even when it is very severe. All right, that's the big thing here. That it can be very severe, and yet he's not going to learn from it. He's not going to gain from it. And you can bash him and smash him as much as you want, and he's still going to end up as a fool. Now that's a good thing for us to catch, because that's just showing us a person that doesn't take discipline and learn from it is a fool. And we don't want to be that way. We want to be able to gain and learn and benefit when things, when we have to face discipline. And listen, we all face discipline from one way or another. I mean, God will discipline us when we do wrong. It may be just the conviction of the Spirit of God because, we've done something or we said something we shouldn't say and the Spirit of God convicts us. Or maybe it's our spouse corrects us over something, or a friend says, listen, that's not right, or the Spirit of God convicts us through preaching or through some other way. But when that happens, if we will respond in a positive way and let it change us, God won't have to keep pounding on us, because he says the fool, even though you pound him and pound him and pound him, he's still not going to change his ways. And God wants us to learn. So the principle there is the obvious right thing to do when you get in trouble is to learn from it and change. And the fool doesn't benefit that way. All right, so by implication there, the wise person learns quickly from the rebuke or the discipline. And that's really what we need to be. We need to be the wise person. Okay, just a summary here. The fool. All right, we're looking at the fool first. All right, first of all, he receives shame and disgrace. All right, we saw that he's too lazy to work.
Yeah.
He befriends other fools. He tears down, like he's tearing down the house, and he deceives himself. He does not learn from punishment, and he's unwilling to yield. And then he is unreliable. So all of these are things that describe the fool. On the other side, we have the wise person. All right, he receives honor, and he works faithfully. He walks with other wise people. He builds up instead of tearing down. He discerns the best way to go. He follows the way of life. He learns from reproof. He stops arguments. All right, now you see those two lists. Obviously, we want to be on this side. All right, we don't want to be on the other side. We don't want to be known as a fool. We don't want people to think we're fools. We don't want God to think we're fools, especially. We want to be a wise person. So mark those down in your mind and say, God, help me to be a wise person. One who receives honor, works faithfully, walks with wise people, builds up, discerns the best way to go, follows the way of life, and learns from reproof and stops arguments. That's the way we need to be. God wants us to just be that kind of a person that would glorify Him. Now, how can we become wise? All right. First of all, we need to listen to our parents and our teachers who point us in God's way. All right, we saw several of those with the beating of the fool and various things like he wasn't listening and he wouldn't listen, and as a result he didn't gain. Then we need to choose friends who are wise and reject friends that are fools, even when it means missing out on some fun things. And, you know, this is where it really gets hard. You know, we can talk about this. We can say, you know, we need to choose good friends. But the truth of the matter is, it's hard. Because you may have some people that you hang around with sometimes that you know deep down inside are fools. But they're your friends. We've always been kind of buddies, and we've always done things together. And God says, you got to make a choice. You continue to hang around them, you're going to become more like them.
Yep.
And you know, that's so sad, because a lot of times people, when they hang around their friends, and especially, this is especially dangerous when we're going through some struggles, you know, and we enjoy being with a friend that we can share our heart with and we can pour out our burdens to them. And if they're not a wise person, they're going to give us foolish counsel. And we're going to go away from our little cup of tea time with them thinking, oh yeah, maybe they're right. Maybe I need to do that. Maybe that's the way I should respond. And they just gave you the advice of a fool because you hung around the wrong kind of people. So we got to be very, very careful with that. John Ray?
It's interesting though, like, maybe what makes it complicated sometimes is certain people, even some of those people that might not even be believers, that we know, like maybe an older people in a family. Like for example, like older generations, like a lot of older people today coming from like many years ago that aren't necessarily even believers, but like they still see things very differently than younger people today. Like for example, like a lot of, I know, you know, older couples that are not Christians, but if they were to give younger couples advice about how to react, you know, they would advise, like, you know, like divorce isn't the way to go, work, you know, you should talk about things. Like, I mean, some practical things that you might consider wise, you know.
Yes.
But then again, when it comes to like some other viewpoints they might have in life, like how you should look at God and church, that's not where you want to be getting advice. Yeah. There's some people that you know or people who always have good advice. And what makes it difficult, because they might be able to give good advice in a lot of things, but there are going to be some things where, you know, you might be going to them at the wrong time. That's not the time you should have been asking advice. Yeah. That's not the thing that they are asking.
See, John Ray just brought out something here that's true. The unbelievers can give good counsel sometimes on some issues. But if a person is not consistent, he's like that lame fool that sometimes they give good advice and then other times you talk on another topic and they're going to give you bad advice. You don't know, sometimes you don't know which ones they're going to give you. They're not the kind of a person to get any advice from on a general basis, because you don't know whether they're going to give you good advice or bad advice. And if you're not wise enough to be able to discern between the good and the bad advice, you may think that it was all good and it wasn't. So, yes, we need to be very careful about those things. Now, the next one is to live for God and for others, not ourselves.
Yeah.
That is a big one. We need to live for God and for others. And yet, the foolish tendency in us is to live for ourselves. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. All right? So strife and vainglory. Strife is arguing. Vainglory is just a prideful feeling. He says, don't do anything for defending your side of the point and getting glory to yourself, but in lowliness of mind or humbleness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Lift up others instead of ourselves. That's the right thing to do. When rebuked, we need to learn from it and to seek to change. Just ask God, God, please change me. Don't let me be that way. And then seek to be a peacemaker, not a selfish fighter. That's so true. So many different situations. If we're not careful and we're not a peacemaker, we'll be a selfish fighter, and it gets us into trouble. And then know the difference between a fool and a wise man. All right, so as we wrap this up, we need to make sure we know the difference between a wise person and a fool. We've looked at a lot of characteristics of both of them. And the wise person chooses things that would please and honor God. The fool chooses things that pleases and honors himself. And it gets him in a lot of trouble. So God's closing advice, Proverbs 22, verse 3, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. That is such a key verse. So the prudent or wise person, he sees the evil. He says, you know, I can tell this way. If I go that way, that is going to get me into trouble. That is a trap. I cannot go that way. He sees the evil and hides himself. So I know that's going to get me in trouble. I'm not going that way. I'm going to go this way because that way will definitely get me in trouble. That's the wise thing to do. But the fool, he's the simple guy. He just passes on his punishes. I don't care. I'm not worried about it. I'll just go anyway. And it gets him into trouble. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 33. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. All right, so we need to hear instruction. We need to be wise and not to reject it. Not to say, I don't want to know it. Don't tell me. I've got my mind made up. You know, sometimes we go to a godly person for some counsel, and in our heart we're saying, now don't tell me something different. I've already got my mind made up. Just tell me what I'm doing is right. And that's what we want, but that's not the way to approach it. So many times we do that.
What's good asking for advice if you already made up your mind?
That's right.
To listen.
That's right. Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Yeah. To God and ask him, you know, and
yep. Proverbs 23, verse 19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise. Guide thine heart in the way. Good advice for a young man, or a young woman for that matter. Hear, my son, and be wise. Guide thyself in the way. And then the last one. Practice God's principles of proving. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That really is the bottom line of it all. God wants us to be wise. And so I challenge you to ponder over these things. If you've missed some of the lessons, you can go on the web and download the notes and review over those, and it can be of help to you. But let's just ask God to help us to become wise people and not fools, and to be able to know the difference, so that the biggest reason we went through all this is so that we can discern who we're around us is a fool and who around us is a wise person. And there takes discernment to be able to tell the difference.